Good morning. That's a scary gospel passage for all of us and for all nations. In reflecting upon this gospel reading for today, I'd like to start with another Nasruddin story. I like every once in a while to dig out my Nasruddin stories. He was one of these amazing people in that part of the world that today is Afghanistan, Central Asia, 13th century. Known for his wise sayings, but also for his foolishness. He was a bit of a jokester. So one day a neighbor came to the gate of Mullah Nasruddin's yard. The mullah went out to meet him. "Would you mind, mullah?" the neighbor asked, "can you lend me your donkey today? I have some goods to transport to the next town." The mullah didn't want to loan his donkey to this man. He didn't like this man. But so as not to seem rude, he said to him, "I'm sorry, but I've already loaned my donkey to somebody else." All of a sudden, the donkey could be heard braying loudly behind the wall of the yard. "But mullah," the neighbor explained, "I can hear it behind that wall." "Whom are you going to believe?" the mullah replied angrily. "The donkey or your mullah?" I can't help but think of this Nasruddin story when I think upon today's gospel reading. It's so easy, even if we don't articulate it, to say or to think, who are you going to believe? Jesus or what I tell you Jesus meant? Who are you going to believe? Jesus or what the church tells you Jesus meant? There are millions and millions of Christians who simply ignore the plain teaching of what Jesus says to us today. How do they do this? Well, they simply say it doesn't apply to them. It applies to some other people. Or it's for some other time or some other place. Nice and quick way to avoid the plain meaning. You can't argue with people who simply refuse to accept what's in front of them, who find a way out, some alternative interpretation, alternative reality. But it's actually even worse than that, because most Christians and most Christian churches, in one way or another, have substituted their own beliefs for what Jesus says. In other words, most Christians, including Orthodox and Catholics and Protestants, think that the most important thing that's going to get us to heaven is what we believe, our faith, what we say in our creed, in our doctrines. Most of us put the emphasis on what we say about Jesus Christ rather than what he said. Take note of that. I've never put it in these words before. Most of us put the emphasis on what we say about Christ rather than what he said. That's serious. That's serious. But pay attention to today's gospel reading. The Lord will gather the nations, he says. He says nothing about what they believe. He says nothing about what the religions of these nations are. He will gather the nations, the entire world. And he will separate them according to what they have done or have not done. Deeds, not creeds. Let that sink in. The judgment that Jesus describes today is universal. Jews, Christians, Muslims have similar ideas about God's judgment. Similar ideas. Especially Muslims and Christians have almost identical visions of judgment. They might not agree on other things, and certainly we don't, but they do agree about judgment. And the bottom line is how we practice our faith. I was reading these last couple of days a book about Thomas Merton's relationship to Judaism. Thomas Merton was probably the most eloquent, the most important teacher of Christian spirituality in the entire 20th century. He was a Catholic monk in Kentucky, and he wrote in his short life, I don't know, over 50 books. So one of the books that I've been reading about Thomas Merton is about his relationship with Judaism. And he's quoted saying the following: "If I affirm myself as a Catholic merely by denying all that is Muslim, Jewish, Protestant, Hindu, Buddhist, etc., in the end, I will find that there's not much left for me to affirm as a Catholic, and certainly no breath of the Spirit with which to affirm it. If our orientation, if our attitude is to simply deny any connection that we might have with any other religion, with any other beliefs, in the final analysis, we find that there's not much left. There's not much left that we can actually identify as Orthodox or Catholic." That's coming from a man who could one of these days be proclaimed a saint of the Catholic Church. In the same book, I read a quote from Martin Buber, a famous Jewish philosopher of the last century. And this really blew my mind when I read this statement of his. He says, "I have felt Jesus from my youth onwards as my great brother. We Jews knew him from within, in the impulses and stirrings of his Jewish being, in a way that remains inaccessible to the peoples submissive to him." That may sound like an arrogant, presumptuous statement by a Jew. And it took a while for it to sink in with me. But when it finally sunk in, I understand what he's saying. And I have no disagreement with it. Jesus was a Jew. Martin Buber is a Jew, was a Jew. And you can understand the impulses and the stirrings and the passions of Jesus from within, in that close kinship that he felt as a Jew to a fellow Jew. Something that Martin Buber says is impossible for the rest of us, those who submit to him, who see him as Lord. It's one thing to proclaim Jesus as Lord and to see him as this exalted being as we see him. And it's another for a Jew to understand what a fellow Jew really feels. And we lose touch of Jesus' humanity when we only see him as God, as the second person of the Trinity. And perhaps this is the difference between how Christians relate to Jesus from Jews. Jews relate to him as a Jewish man. We relate to him as a second person of the Trinity. But the Jesus who speaks in today's parable of the sheep and the goats is the Son of Man who comes to judge the world. But he also speaks as a passionate Jew in touch with what his own Torah teaches him. Buber quotes a tale told by Rabbi Hanok. There once was a man who was very forgetful. When he got up in the morning, it was so hard for him to find his clothes that at night he almost didn't want to go to bed because he was thinking about the trouble he would have when he would wake up. One evening he took paper and pencil, and as he undressed, he noted down exactly where he put all his clothes, everything that he had on. The next morning he took the slip of paper in his hand and he read, cap, there it was. He set it on his head. Pants, there they lay, and so on until he was fully dressed. That's all very well, he said to himself. But now, where am I myself? Where in the world am I? He looked and looked, but it was in vain that he searched. He could not find himself. And that is how it is with us, said the rabbi. Where am I? I might have all the right beliefs in place. I might think of myself as all right with God. I'm Orthodox after all. I'm not a heretic. But where am I? And Jesus' parable today tells me that I am where he is. I will find myself where I will find him, in you, in my neighbor, in the homeless, in the stranger, in the refugee. That's the true power of Jesus' words today. And his words shatter all our conceptions of what religion is. And that's why he says, the nations. He will gather the nations because our beliefs are not simply our own. They are the beliefs of our tribes, our nations, our ethnic identities. And Jesus shows us a higher identity, the one that we will find in each other, and especially in those who are in need. And there's transforming power in all of that. This is an amazing parable. It scares us, but at the same time, it elevates our minds, our spirits, to such an extraordinary level that it's so easy to miss it. But I will give the final word today again to Thomas Merton. He wrote, the message of the Bible is that into the confusion of man's world, with its divisions and hatred, has come a message of transforming power. And those who believe it will experience in themselves the love that makes for reconciliation and peace on earth. That's what Jesus is telling us today. He's not just scaring us with threats of hell or anything like that. Yeah, that's in there. But that's not the purpose. The purpose is to show us this incredible power of love that brings peace and reconciliation into the earth. That is always Jesus' message, and that is his purpose for coming into our midst. Amen.